The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Praise God. Welcome to Bethel Worship Center this morning. Amen. Amen. Come on, are you glad to be here? I know you're. Yes. Praise God. We always have this exodus for a little while. All the kids going out, parents going out with them, and many of them will be back. But this morning, I would like to jump right into the message. Lots of things going on today in the service, but we always want to get to the meat of the Word of God, because that's our foundation. One of the first things I'd like to do, though, is I'd like to encourage, we have a spiritual gifts class that is going on. Joy Burdett is teaching that. If you are interested, you can still get into this class. It is a class that is teaching all the spiritual gifts as they are outlined in the Bible. There is also an assessment at the end of, not a test, please. I don't want you to think you're going to be taking a test. It's an assessment at the end to find out what your spiritual gifts are. And it is very accurate. Those of you who do know what your spiritual gifts are, you will find out that it is extremely accurate. If you do not, it will help you assess what your spiritual gifts are and be able to get plugged into the body of Christ. It's very important. One of the things that we want to do here at Bethel Worship Center is we want to connect people to the kingdom. But at the same time, we want to connect the kingdom to people. So in order to do that, people get saved, but there's much more to it than just salvation in Christ. There is a growing and learning process that we must have. So once we get saved and we're connected to the kingdom, then we connect the kingdom to you by teaching you the principles of the kingdom and the Word of God. And this spiritual gifts class is just one of those things that will help you to grow, mature, and become strong believer in Jesus Christ. We need strong believers in Christ today. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know, our service this morning at worship, I just get excited about people not being, not allowing any of the circumstances or the things happening in their life or around them to inhibit them in worship. Because worship is so important. God inhabits the praises of His people.
Yes, He does.
When we worship the living God, God shows up. That's what we want. Amen? Listen, my grandson Marshall plays football. Ethan plays football at that age. It's flag football. But I want to tell you something. Parents get crazy about flag football. Amen? So do grandparents. That's right. Parents and grandparents. I gotta include myself. Amen. You know, they get excited. They clap. They cheer. When their kid does something right, they jump up and say, "Yeah! Go, Marshall. Go, Ethan. Go whoever." And that's just football with little kids. And let me tell you something. I don't want to be critical, but I want you to understand many of those people that were shouting at the football game will come to church on Sunday morning and fold their arms and sit quietly when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is being praised. Woo! So, I do not apologize for getting excited about worshiping the living God. We need to show a little emotion. My goodness, we're too reserved sometimes when it comes to our God. Let's get excited. Shake it off a little bit. That's right. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Mentioned that about the spiritual gifts class. So, this morning I'm going to be talking about prospering in times of drought. Now, I must apologize to you. Tammy always puts in the bulletin what the message is going to be. And She asked me what it was, and husband, you got to help me out here. Do you sometimes get preoccupied with something else when your wife asks you a question and you don't really listen or pay attention? Hey, nobody's going to stick their neck out for me? Come on. Come on, guys. Yeah, that's right. I was in the anointing. I don't know what I was doing, but you know, it's kind of like, what did you do when you ask the kid, what did you study this morning in Sunday school? And they say the Bible, you know. Well, she asked me and I said faith. Well, it is about faith, but that's not the essence of this message. Prospering in times of drought. And the reason I want to bring this message is because I believe we are in a drought. You know, not a physical drought, although there are parts of our country that are in physical droughts right now. California's been in a severe drought for about 5 years now. And this, El Nino weather and pattern, they're saying it probably won't help a whole lot. Even if they get rain, it's not going to help a whole lot because it's been so severe for so long. Now, I know this, that our God is able to cause it to rain there enough in a substantial way without wiping everything out so that they can have rain or can have water. But they need it. They have asked the people of the area to use 25% less water. And so far, people have been cooperating with that. But this is a serious situation. In fact, the prices in housing in California has been coming down because people are moving out. They see how severe this is. It's difficult. So there is a physical drought in the land. But what I really want to talk to you about is the spiritual drought in the land. We have a spiritual drought here in our land, and it covers the whole nation. But it does not have to be that way. God's people do not have to allow the drought to dehydrate them. There is a spiritual drought, but we have a God that is, Jesus said, He's the living water. And out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I don't care how much of a spiritual drought there is out there in here, in God's people. I'm not just talking about in this building. I'm talking about in the body of Christ. We can show people the living water. We can walk with the living water flowing out of us. It can not only cleanse us and cause us to be strong and have be hydrated, but it flows out into other people's lives as well. Yes, sir. Amen? So let's not let the spiritual drought hold us back from being the people that God wants us to be. All right, here's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at 1 Kings this morning. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to read verse 1 through 6. As you're turning there, I'd like to mention a story that Larry King is fond of telling. And some of you may not, you know, you may have different opinions about Larry King, but one thing about Larry King is that when he interviews Christians, what I have seen, he's been very cordial and polite to them. And he is a man of somewhat of faith. But anyhow, not a believer in Jesus Christ. However, here's the story that he likes to tell. He said there was a drought in a particular place, and three farmers would gather every day and pray that the drought would come to an end. And they had prayed and they prayed, and then and every day they'd come together and pray, and they believing that God was going to do something, and they thought they were believing anyhow. And along came a stranger one day, and he saw them praying, and he asked them, "What are you doing?" And the first guy said, "Well, we're praying for rain. We need rain desperately. Our livelihood depends on it. And the guy looked at him and he said, it won't work. He said, what do you mean? We believe that God is going to send us rain. He said, it won't work. The second guy chimed in, but you see, we desperately need this rain and we believe that our God will provide rain. He said, it won't work. The third guy finally said, look, if you're so smart, what do you think we need to do? He said, if you really believe that God's going to send you rain, you need to go home and get your umbrellas and come back, because then you will be prepared to receive the rain. The question is, do we really believe God wants to send rain on this earth? And I'm talking about spiritual latter-day revival in our time. Do we? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's been times that we've had prayer, and you're going to think that I'm being critical here of people, but I'm going to lay it out for you. We've had prayer times that we've had go on for several weeks at a time. And when we start praying, you know, several people show up for that prayer time. But by the time we get to the end of that prayer time, three or four people show up for it. We don't come with our umbrellas expecting rain. We're not really, you know, we're talking about this thing, but we're not really walking in expectation. And let me tell you something. I'm not being any more critical of you than I am of myself. I understand. I usually come because I'm the pastor and I'm expected to show up, not because I necessarily feel anything. Am I being real enough with you this morning? Come on. I do believe that we've got to get serious about this thing. Every revival that has ever broken out in the body of Christ and that has touched the world has been precipitated by people, God's people, praying, earnestly praying and seeking the face of God. But there's some things that we need to do. And we're going to look at this scripture this morning and talk about this briefly. And I apologize to everyone. I usually have sermon notes and we can follow it out on the screen, but I did not get to do that this week. We're just going to have to do this the old-fashioned way before we had technology. All right. You're going to have to, if you want to take notes, you're going to have to get a piece of paper out, take some notes, and listen closely to what is happening, because I want to talk about us prospering as believers in a time of drought. I want us to understand that Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I want us to see that it doesn't matter what's happening around us or in our society. What matters is what's happening in us as believers in Jesus Christ. Amen. What's stirring in our hearts. Because the enemy will try to put you down. He'll try to hold you back. The enemy will try to cause you to dehydrate. And he does that in many different ways. Some of the ways he does that is he'll try to keep you from the living word, the word of God, the water that will spring up inside of you. He'll try to keep you from your prayer time. He'll try to keep you from fellowship with other believers in Jesus Christ. There are so many things that he tries to do to keep people from growing and continuing to be hydrated from the Word of God. Let's look at what happened with Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word. Now, first of all, we have to understand Ahab was a wicked king. In fact, the Bible says that he did more wickedness than any of the previous kings before him. Wicked, wicked king. He had a wife whose name was Jezebel, and they worshiped false gods. And he was stirred to do evil before the Lord. Elijah, on the other hand, was stirred to do the work of God. And Elijah would confront Ahab from time to time with his evil. And of course, as all who refused to repent, they would get mad at the messenger rather than repent of the sin that he was going through. So he would get mad at Elijah for whatever. But at this particular time, Elijah just, he'd gotten fed up with all the evil that was going on. And he proclaimed a drought in the land. He said, it's not going to rain. You're not even going to have dew fall for this period of time. Now, here's what I want us to see in this. This is really important. Elijah spoke it, and God listened. Elijah was doing the work of the Lord. Now, I'm sure Elijah was spending plenty of time in the presence of God so that he could hear the voice of God. But we got to understand, we are the children of the Most High God. And if we are connected to Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ, there is power in our spoken word. There is power for us to speak things into existence. That's exactly what Elijah did. He spoke into existence a drought. Now, sometimes we make mistakes. Say, man, how many in here have ever made a mistake? Okay, a couple of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. My wife, Tammy, made one last week. I just want everybody to know. She does make mistakes once in a great while. I'm telling you. Just be quiet. I love my wife. I know you do, and you know how strong she is. And she really does. She's on top of things. Yeah. Amen. But even I don't care how good you are, we still make some mistakes. And sometimes those mistakes will cause things to happen in our life. In Elijah's case, he was speaking the word of God. In our case, sometimes we say things or do things that create a drought in our life. You with me? Okay. And because of that, but let me tell you something. Here's what is so important, that even though we do something that is wrong, we do something that creates a situation in our life, we walk in a way that we shouldn't, we still have a mighty God. And all we have to do is turn to Him and cry out to Him, and He's ready to cause that living water to flow out of us once again. He will hydrate us all over again. All we have to do is trust Him. And that's what I want us to see here this morning. First thing that Elijah did was he just trusted God. He put his trust in God. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have made the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook, which flows into the Jordan. Then the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after that. Well, I'm going to stop right there. He went, he did what God told him to do. Listen, there is power in obedience. Even when there is a drought, even if you feel like you're going through a spiritual drought, if you hear God say something to you, obey Him. Listen to what He is saying. Obey His voice. Because when you obey, there will be provision. God told him to go to do this. Now, this man was a wicked man, Ahab. And Elijah was speaking a curse that would come upon the whole nation. But God provided for him by having the ravens bring him meat and bread. And of course, he had the brook to drink from. All his needs were met. God has promised that he will never leave you or forsake you. He will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He will always be there. You know, and I like to think that God even used Ahab to provide for Elijah's needs. Because, you know, where did that meat come from? This is just me. I want everybody, this is not scripture. I'm just making up a story here. But I like to speculate. Where did that meat come from? He brought him strips of meat. I can just see Ahab's men out there cutting off slabs of jerky, hanging it up on the line outside of his residence, Ahab's residence. And here come these ravens and steal Ahab's meat and take it to Elijah to provide for his needs. I don't know where that meat came from, but it came from someplace. And I hope it was Elijah or Ahab. Because that would just be like God.
That's right.
And he brought bread. Fresh bread. He had drink. He had all of his needs provided for. And I want you to understand something this morning. And that is that no matter what you feel like you're going through, if you will listen to the Spirit of God, all your needs will be met according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Just trust him. Just trust your God. That's the first thing I want to talk to you about. Trusting God, or I want to leave you with. As I mentioned, we do make some mistakes in this life, and we do things that are sometimes that are very difficult for us to overcome. Sometimes things are embarrassing. We don't like to talk about it. But listen, we're all in that boat. I want you to know. I often do things that embarrass me. I standing up here in front of you. I do things sometimes that embarrass me. Just me. Because I'm human. That I wish I could go and take back. I wish I could rewind it and have that reset that Tammy was talking about. No, I didn't say that. No. We'll go back and take care of it. Well, sometimes it just happens in our life. And we've got to be able to get beyond that in our life. God has placed me, one of the things God has done in my life, he put me up here so I could get beyond myself. You know, not worry about what I say or how it comes across to somebody. As long as I'm hearing from him and preaching and teaching the word of God in such a way that it can impact somebody's life, that's all that's important. That's what it is. It's not important how I appear or how I come across, other than I don't want to come across as trying to beat people up. I don't want you to think that I'm here this morning to beat you up. I'm here to encourage you in the Lord. I'm here to tell you there is an answer for you. That if you're going through a drought, God has meat and bread and drink for you.
Yes, he does.
He has provided it. And if he has to cause the ravens to go out and get it for you and bring it back to you, he will do it. He is well able to do that. I like this story about professional baseball pitcher. I can't remember his name. But he was pitching in a very serious game, important game. He was of the Cubs, and he was pitching against Barry Larkin. And the game was tied. Well, actually, there wasn't any score. It was nothing to nothing. He was going into the late innings of the game. And he pitched a ball that Barry Larkin hit out of the the park and won the game. When it was all over with, his first name was Bob, I do remember that. When it was all over with, of course they do an interview. Can you imagine having to say something after allowing the winning run to be hit? But he stood up before the press and they asked him, just tell us, what kind of pitch was that? Well, he said it was a combination between a screwball and a curveball. And they said, what? He said, yeah, it's called a screw-up. We all have those screw-ups in our life. And we have good intentions, but man, they come along. Praise God. You know, I'm thankful that I'm with family and friends here this morning. That you overlook my screw-ups. Because I'm trying to pitch a home run here. Or not pitch a home run. A no-hitter. That was a little screw-up, wasn't it? Yeah. It was. That's right. I was just seeing if you're paying attention. Amen. What a good God we serve. All right, let's move on to First Kings. Okay, let's read verse 7 through 9. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he rose and he went. Okay, first of all, God had the provision for the prophet. But then the brook dripped. It just dried up on him. He no longer did he have the water that he needed. Remember, there's a drought going on. And in the middle of a drought, and let me speak to not only spiritual drought, but let's talk about emotional drought. Let's talk about financial drought in people's lives. Because sometimes we go through these kind of things, and even as we're going through it, God makes a provision for us. I've been through those financial droughts before in my life. And even though it didn't seem like the income was coming in like it should, like we would like for it to, God always provided. He always provided. He always had the ravens coming with the meat, the bread, and the drink was there. It was always a provision. But here's what happens sometimes. If we get too comfortable sitting by that brook, it's time for us to move on. And if we don't move on, God will move us on. God taught, in this particular situation, he dried up the brook. And he said to Elijah, it's time for you to move on. But he also said, don't worry, I have a provision for you. Isn't that great? He's saying to you this morning, don't worry, I'm moving you on. You're going in a new direction. You're going there. But as you go, I will provide. Yes, yes. I will make the provision for you. He's going to have a widow just waiting to do what God has told her to do. What I want you to see in this part is that when the brook dries up, in the particular area that you're in, start looking around and see where God is leading you. Amen. Amen. You know, there's some of you sitting in here right now. I believe that God has something else that he wants you to do. Now, I don't want to drive anybody out of this congregation. I love all of you. I want you to be here. I want us to worship together and fellowship. But if God has another direction for your life, I don't want to get in the way of that either. I don't want to hinder it. I want to encourage that. I want to stand with you. I want to recognize that God has a new provision in your life and a new direction. So the second thing that we're going to look at is trust God. Continue, not just trust God, continue to trust God. It's very important that when the brook dries up, God has another place for you. Look for it, expect it, understand that that's God's will. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Now, what does all mean? All. Amen. Do we need a definition for all? Absolutely not. We all know what all means. All your needs shall be provided by Almighty God. He's going to supply. He's going to protect. He's going to keep. He's going to guide and direct you. In these times of drought that we walk through, spiritual, emotional, financial, whatever the situation, our God has promised that he will supply all of his needs. All of your needs according to his riches and glory, Christ Jesus. For you today. So we trust that. It's very important that we recognize. Now here's this point I want to share with you. And that is that when we go through these difficult times in our life, that we feel is a drought, there is a purpose for it. There was a purpose for all of this with Elijah. There was a purpose for this widow. I mean, she was in the right place at the right time to receive God's blessing in her life. But these things are not meant to break us. They're meant to make us stronger, more prepared to go on to the next level with our God. Many years ago, some entrepreneurs recognized that in Mexico, they raised a plant, or where there was a plant that grew there. It's called sisal plant. And out of this plant, they make some of the best, it's a hemp plant, by the way, and they make some of the best twine and rope because it's very, very strong. The fibers in the leaves are extremely strong. So they make really good twine out of it and ropes. These guys from the United States recognized where this was coming from, and they got an idea. Hey, if those plants will grow that well in the mountains of Mexico where there's not very much soil, good soil, guess what? You know, you wonder what they would do in the southern states of the United States. So they went and got those plants, and they planted a bunch of the plants. They bought up land and planted the plants, and the plants grew like crazy. They grew 10 times larger than they had grown in Mexico. And they took the, man, they were excited. Everybody thought, wow, we're going to make some bucks off this. And they took those plants and they started grinding them up like they had to make the pulp. And what they realized when they started grinding them up was the fibers in the leaves were not as strong as they had been when they had the adversity of growing in the difficult soil in Mexico. God, that's what God's doing in our lives.
Amen.
You know, we sometimes say, God, why do I have to go through this again? Why do I have to deal with this? It's for your good. All things work to your good. That's our God. He loves you so much. He loves me so much that he's not going to leave us the way we are right now. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be faithful. He stirs us up. He takes us through. Now, I'm not telling you that God causes all the problems that you're having in your life. I'm telling you that God is with you when you go through those problems. He has promised that He's going to walk with you. He'll never leave you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Come on, people. That's where we are in our lives. We're leaning way too much on our own understanding. Trust in the Lord. If you trust Him, He will bring you through to the other side. Amen. Last thing I want to share with you. Verse 10 through 16. So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Boy, talk about being at the end of your rope. We're just going to eat this little bit of food we have, and we know what's next. We're just going to die. It's over. And Elijah said to her, "Don't fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterwards, make some of you for yourself and your son." Now, we've got to comprehend this dire situation that she was in. She had a little bit of bread, a little bit of oil. And she said, "We're just going to eat this and then we're going to die." And what does the man of God say to her? "Make me some first." That's like Pastor Rob saying, "How much money do you have?" "I have one. I just have a dollar, Pastor. That's all I've got." "Well, give it to me. Give it to me. I want your dollar." How are you going to respond? I can tell you how most people respond when I tell them things like this. "You're crazy. I'm not giving you my money." That's when I talk about tithing. People say, "You're crazy. I'm not giving that church my money." You're not giving the church your money. You're being obedient to the word of God. That's what she was doing, being obedient to the word of God at that place. So when the man of God, and she recognized him as the man of God, when the man of God said to her, "Make one for me first," she did what he said. Listen, when the man of God, and I'm talking about God's men, wherever they are, and you've got to trust the people who are in leadership over you in the church. If you do not, you should find a church that you do trust the leadership in. Because it's very important that you recognize that God has placed certain people in leadership positions to lead the body of Christ. Not to be a dictator over the people, but to lead them by the Word of God. Yes. Amen. And as we stand on the Word of God together, when I say, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing, shall men give unto your bosom," I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Amen. This woman gave out of her need. And she reaped abundantly. When God touches your heart, not when Pastor Rob tries to twist your arm, because I don't like to do that, to give. I don't have to do that here with these people. When God speaks to us to give to somebody, everybody responds. You just know how important it is. But when God speaks to your heart and says, "Do it," you do it, I can guarantee the blessing will follow. And that's exactly what happened with this woman. She gave out of her need. Can you give out of your need sometime? I've given out of my need many times. God has never failed me. I've given, now listen to me. I want you to know, I'm not just talking about money here. When I'm emotionally spent, somebody calls up and needs my ear and my counsel, I'm giving out of my need. So are you. And I can guarantee you, by the time I hang up that phone or stop, get done meeting with that person, I'm stronger. And I'm more prepared. I feel the presence of God. When you're emotionally spent, you give out of your need, God pours back into you. The same thing happens with our finances. If you give out of your need when God tells you to give, you will never be without. That's God's word. Give out of your needs spiritually. Look, I'm a man, only a man, called by God to pastor this church. And if I had to feel like I wanted to get up here in this pulpit on Sunday mornings, I would be up here probably less than half the time. Because I don't always feel like that's what I need to do. But when I do it, there is supernatural infusion of the power of God that leads me and directs me and causes me to be lifted up. It's not me. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the power of God in my life. So as I share these things with you, I want you to understand it. Sometimes people just think money. It's not money. It's life. That's right. It's life. It's health. It's emotions. It's spiritual growth. It's all these things in our life. Are we willing to give out of our need? Trust God. Continue to trust God. And then give out of your need sometimes when the Spirit of God speaks to you. Stand with me. Bow your head, please. Father God, we just thank you. This is an awesome day that we've been able to worship you, glorify your holy name. And we know, Lord, that you're such an awesome and mighty God. We trust you today, Lord. We trust you to provide. We trust you that when we go through a drought of any kind, if we trust you, you provide. When you change our direction and we're in a drought, we trust you. We just continue to trust you, that you know what is best. And then when we're in that drought, Lord, and you speak to us to give above and beyond what we think is we're capable of giving, whether it's emotionally, spiritually, or even financially, Lord, we are able to do what is right before you. Thank you, Lord, this morning, your people. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you feel like you're going through any kind of a drought, just raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Yes. Appreciate that. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, you see these hands. I don't know what kind of drought they're going through, but I know that you are their God. I know that you are our provider. And I believe this morning, Father God, that you are going to order their steps in such a way, if they will listen and follow you, there will be abundance at the end of this drought. Thank you, Lord, as you minister life to your people. Today, we have expectations of you doing great and mighty things before us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you'd like to have prayer for healing, please come up. Our prayer warriors, if you'd come up and pray for people, anybody who has special needs, you'd like to have prayer, you'd like to hear a word from God, these people are prepared to pray for you. Speak into your life. Hallelujah. Thank you. You may be dismissed. Majestic choirs with all